this morning, the Bible, and how the Bible blesses us. You know, the Bible, we live in a nation in America where Bibles are everywhere. I mean, aren't they? And they're in grocery stores and bookstores, motel rooms. They're available in all sizes and shapes, all kinds of versions. You don't know what the best version is. People ask me that all the time. What kind of version of the Bible, what kind of translation would you get? And I got to thinking about that. You know, the best translation is the Living Bible. You know what the Living Bible is? It's the Bible living through you. That's the Living Bible. And that's really the best translation there is. And that's what we're talking about this morning. Remember James, he's this no-nonsense type of guy. He tells it like it is. He says, show me your works. You know, show me you really mean business for Jesus, and that will show me your faith. Anybody can talk about faith. Anybody can talk a good game. But he says it really needs to be something that is seen. It needs to be in our character. It needs to be who we are. And so now he begins to talk about the Word of God. And knowing the Word of God is not knowledge, it's character building. It's how much like Jesus are you becoming. So there's certain tests there that he puts before us that says, okay, you think you're a maturing Christian or you think you know so much about the Bible, let's just put the plumb line up here and see how you evaluate to that. And so he's talking about how to get the most out of the Bible, out of God's Word, because there are Bibles everywhere. It continues to be the bestseller every year. Last year, 500 million Bibles published in like 18,000 different languages. You know, our nation is just really glued. It's just overwhelmed with Bibles, with God's Word on the airways, on radio, on TV, and books, and magazines. Yet multitudes and millions of people miss the blessing of God's Word. Why is that? You know, and a lot of people say, oh, I've read the Bible, it didn't do anything for me, or, you know, two people can read the Bible and get two different things out of it, and like people can come to a service and get two different things out of it, and it means nothing to one person, it means everything to another, and it's the way that person has prepared themselves and prepared that ground. So let me just start off that actually God's Word, the Bible, is a love letter to His children, to people that know Him, that are part of His family, okay? So, you know, if you picked up somebody else's mail, that would be a felony. No, it would be by accident, let's say, or got somebody else's email or text. And that's actually happened to me two times on my phone. I've gotten somebody else's. I had no idea what they were talking about or what that conversation was about. And same way with the Bible, a person picks up the Bible that doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, doesn't know the author, doesn't know God Himself, doesn't have that relationship, it's not going to make a lot of sense to you, okay? That's why people can say, well, I've read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and it made no change in my life. Well, of course not. How could you even understand it unless you know the author, unless you know the one who's writing that love letter to you in a very personal way? So that's the prerequisite there for that. Let's look at this passage for a minute. So he's talking to Christians. He's talking to brothers and sisters in Christ. And he says, my dear brothers, take note of this. And so we talked about that a couple Sundays ago. You know, when the Apostle Paul said this one thing I've learned, we kind of sit up and listen. You know, what is it? I mean, here was a guy that had such experience with the Lord and such a strong Christian. And here now James is saying, take note of this. And so, literally, that's what we should do is take note of this and what he's about to say. You know, and in this context, he's talking about listening and speaking and anger and different things. And these are all, you think, well, what does that have to do with reading of God's Word? Well, it all fits together, and we're going to talk about how that those are signs of how much the Bible has really penetrated to you. But actually, we're going to talk more about those later in another message. But it says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, for man's anger does not bring about the righteousness or the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Okay? Talking about the very word of God. Can government save you? Yeah, that's the appropriate answer. No. Can school save you? Can schools? Can the Seahawks save you? No. Can your job save you? Okay, this is an interactive message here. It says the Bible, it's a word of God that's planted within you. That's the only thing that's going to save you. Now, does it save you just by reading it? No. You have to make application. You have to accept it. It has to be deeply rooted within you. So he goes on to say, but this is the word that is planted in you which can save you. He's talking to believers. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. Okay? Now here's the key, verse 25. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing, he will be blessed in what he does. So, you know, I think any business person should take note of this. He's going to be blessed in anything that he does. How? It's in the doing of the Word of God, not just the hearing, but the doing of the Word of God. If anyone considers him religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, so now we're talking about listening and speaking again, and these are signs. Did you really believe? Are you really taking note of what God's Word says? Well, one of the signs is, do you have a rein on your tongue and deceive himself? His religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows. Do you have a heart for those who are helpless? You know, the true helpless people, he says, in their distress, and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Okay? So, is this world polluted? Is Washington polluted? Yeah, the green state, Port Angeles polluted. So he's saying this is what's going to keep us from being polluted within our mind and see the truth as it really is. Okay, let's look at this then, go a little bit deeper into this. The first thing we must do, James tells us, we have to receive God's word. Okay, we have to receive God's word. Verse 21 says, accept the word that is planted in you. And in the Greek, when it says accept or receive, this is a hospitality word that says come on in. It's welcome. You know, come in. I'm open, you know, with open arms. Welcome this into our lives. It's that we must be receptive, okay? When we read God's word, when you come to church, you have to be receptive to the word of God or else it's not going to come in. It's not going to be where it's not wanted, okay? And we're going to talk about that. It's kind of like a transplant. You know, people, the body has to accept, you know, that organ, whatever is being transplanted. And we, too, have to make that consciousness, that effort within our mind, within our heart, within our soul to welcome in the Word of God. So the first thing is we must be receptive to that, which means we must be in a state of mind to receive that. And then James gives an illustration. He says, planted in you. So the illustration is of a garden here and the seed being planted. And it's to the extent of that receptiveness of the ground. You know, you can take the same seed and put it in two different grounds, and one may bring 100-fold, and the other one may not do anything. It's all about the receptiveness of the soil and how it gets in there. The seed is the Word of God, and it's planted in our hearts. And soil. How have we prepared that soil within our hearts? Are we in a right attitude? And so four things he talks about here that we need to make our soul, our consciousness, our heart, you know, receptive to the Word of God. It has to be welcomed, it has to be accepted, and that transplant has to be made and put with inside of us. So the first thing he says here is to be careful or to be ready. And we have to be careful about our attitude. Verse 19, he says to be quick to listen and slow to speak, okay? There may be a reason why God created two ears and just one mouth. Maybe we should do twice as much listening and half as much as speaking. And if we're going to read God's word, and how do we prepare our hearts for receiving and reception of God's word, we have to be in that mode to listen, okay? To listen to what God is saying, and through prayer and through reading of his word, and not be so quick to speak, but quick to listen. So to be ready, to be intent, to be careful. And then he talks about being calm, okay? If you're going to receive God's word, verse 19, and slow to become angry. You know, the receptivity of receiving God's word. You're not going to receive God's word if you're angry, if you're bitter, if you're upset, if you're tense. You know, you have to be in that state of mind and heart to receive it. But anything being angry or upset creates that emotional bitterness barrier, you know, that keeps that word of God from coming with inside and taking root. And sometimes people say, well, I've read that 100 times, it still doesn't make sense. And maybe it's because there's resentment or anger or bitterness, you know, that is keeping, it creates a barrier, okay, when we're reading the word of God. Their confession has to be made. You know, they did a study that listening actually lowers blood pressure, but talking raises, you know, your blood pressure. And so, you know, what is your emotional state? What is your emotional state when you come to church on Sunday mornings? You know, I know that Sunday mornings can be a very hectic time, especially with children. I remember those days and getting there on time. But to the ability that you receive the Word of God in many ways depends on your receptivity of how, you know, calm, how ready, how much you've prepared that soul for the Word of God to come in. And so we have to make those preparations. And then a third thing, in verse 21, it says we need to be clean, okay? It says get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent. So before the seed can take root, we have to do some weeding. You know, we have to get rid of some things, okay? The filth. Actually, you'll love this. In the Greek, it's actually the filth we need to get rid of is, in the Greek, it's earwax, okay? So it's that you need to clean out your ears so you can really hear what God's word is saying so that you can receive it, you know, into your heart, inside. So it's what we hear. Are you able to hear? We're not really hearing. You know, you may be reading the words, you may be hearing the words, but there's a big difference. You're not really hearing. And it says to lay aside all that emotional garbage, the old habits, the junk, and to get rid of that earwax or those barriers or those things that are keeping us from understanding God's word, from hearing God's word, from applying God's word. It says confession has to take place, okay? So that's how we clean up our hearing. It's by confessions. God's word says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He says get rid of the wrong with inside your life. And then the fourth thing is to be compliant, which means we have to be teachable, okay? We have to be yielded. We have to be humble. He says humbly accept the word of God that is planted in you. Humbly accept the word of God. What does that mean? It means don't act like we already know it all. We know it all anyway. You know, I've heard the word. I've heard the Bible 100 times. You know, I've been to church 1,000,000 times. You know, they're just going to say the same thing again. But he says receive it humbly. Have that teachable spirit. If we're going to really receive what God's word has to say, like say there's millions of Bibles, but look at the percentage of people that really live the Christian life, that understand God's word and have listened to it intently, okay? So first you receive it. You have to say, yes, I want to receive the blessings, the goodness of God's word. I want to get the most out of reading God's word that I can. But another thing here, he says, I must reflect on God's word. Verse 23, anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself immediately goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. You know, and that's what we do in the mornings. You know, we get up, You go to the bathroom, you look in the mirror, and you have to assess all the damage that was done through the night, okay? Now, he says, you look at a mirror so you can know what's going on the outside. We look in God's Word, and it's a mirror of what's going on in the inside, okay? So the reflection, reflect on the Word of God. And God's Word reflects on it. You know, that's why people, it's kind of scary when you think of it. You know, sometimes it's, well, at least for me, it's scary to look in the mirror, okay? We don't want to see certain things. I tell you what was scary this year. You know, we just did the directory, the church directory, and there was quite a few people that didn't want an updated picture. They wanted to use the old picture, you know, from a few years back. And it's kind of like people want to be frozen in time, okay? But that's not really you, okay? We wanted an updated picture. But people are afraid to admit sometimes, and just a normal mirror, we're really afraid, I look like that? That's really what people see, you know? And it hurts sometimes, it bothers us. And that's why people don't want to go deep into the Word of God or allow themselves to be so open, so I mean, because it shows us. I mean, it shows the truth. It says it's like a double-edged sword. It gets in there and it exposes really what we're like, you know, what we need to confess, where we need to get right with God. And it really tells us who we are in the eyes of God, not in the eyes of man or in the world. Verse 25, the man who looks intently into the perfect law. Now, this is, how do we study the Bible? How do we read the Bible? It says, first of all, you listen, but you don't listen in a passive way. You look, you listen intently. And this is the same word for you research it, you investigate it, you look. It's the same wording, the Greek wording that Peter, when he went to the tomb and he stooped down and he looked inside, he investigated. He took a long gaze. He didn't just glance, okay? There's two different ways we look in a mirror. If you just glance and go on your way, you don't really know. You know, it didn't really help you that. But you have to gaze and look intently. And that's what it's saying in the Word of God. You know, we don't just take a 2-minute Bible study time and I read my Bible for the day. What good did that do? Okay, that's a glance. He's talking about a gaze here where you investigate and you see what's going on. And so you can't do that quiet time that way with just a glance. Well, how do you do a gaze? I thought it was interesting. Rick Warren has a little book that I got on how to study the Bible, and he has in there an acronym, and you can write this down. It's a funny acronym, but it helps you remember. When you study God's Word, when you read God's Word, the acronym is SPACE PETS, okay? So that'll help you remember, but each one stands for something, and the S is, as we read God's Word, we have to let it penetrate and take hold, and the S is sin. Is there any sin in our life, you know, that we need to confess, that we need to get right? And that's what he's talking about, cleaning out the ears, listening. You know, we have to do some weeding in our life before we can go forward. You know, we have to know that the soil is ready and we're prepared for the Word of God. The P, is there a promise to claim? There's like over 7,000 promises in God's Word. And as we read it, you know, claim those promises. Don't just say, oh, well, that was for people 2,000 years ago. Say, wow, God is telling me this right now and in the presence. And if I love him and he'll do this, and if I get my life right, you know, this will happen. And then the A is attitude. Is there an attitude to change? The C is a command. As we're reading God's Word, is there a command that we actually need to obey? You know, not just glance over that, but say, wait a minute, I didn't know I'm supposed to be doing that. You know, this is God's Word. This is what he said. This is a command. The E, is there an example to follow? You know, the P, is there a prayer to pray? As we read God's Word, there's so many prayers in his Word. You know, you want a prayer that you know God's going to hear and listen to, pray some of the prayers that are in the Bible, you know, and the Lord's Prayer specifically. The E, is there an error to avoid? The T, is there a truth to believe? Is there something I just need to believe God for at this time? And then the S, is there something to thank God for? So he says, don't just look passively, but look intently and study. And then there's another thing he says to do as we reflect. We not only read it, we research it, but we review it. In verse 25, he says, and continue to do so. continue to do so. That's on a regular basis in a systematic way, over and over, not just a one-time event in our life. There's things in the miraculousness of God's word is that we can get something new and fresh every time we read it. Okay? But he says to repeat this. You know what that's called? That's called meditation. Okay? Not the kind of meditation that we put our mind in neutral and think about the lint in our navel. That's not what we're talking about or saying or just go along. That's not what true meditation is, meditating on the word of God over and over again. Okay? Repetitively. Okay? You do that if you ever worry. Does anybody worry? That is meditation in a negative way. That's taking a negative thought and thinking about it over and over and over again. That's worry. But he says meditate on the word of God over and over in a positive way. And that's what's going to bring the strength and encouragement. So he says meditate on God's word. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're truly my disciples. So you read it, you review it. Psalm 119:97, I meditate on the word all day long. You know, and it's a sign of love. If you can remember back for those that are older and that early love, and it should be that way now, but when you got before the iPhones and the so-called smartphones, you know, you would write letters, okay? And those love letters, you know, you would take and you would throw them away. No, you would keep them, you would read them, you'd reread them, you'd put them under the pillow and pull it out. Well, girls did that. I don't know if guys do that, but it's something you read over and over again. Wow, did he really say that? He really loves me? You know, oh, she really thinks I'm all that. And it's something you get, and that's the way we should approach the Bible, because it is God's love letter for us. But it's a reading it over and over again and fill our minds with the word of God. James says you want to be blessed, then reflect upon the word of God. Think about it over and over. And then three, remembering it. Verse 25, it says, not forgetting what he has heard. Not forgetting what he has heard. That means memorizing God's scripture. That means when we look in that mirror, the Bible, that we don't just walk away with that glance, that we gaze upon it long enough that we remember it in our mind throughout the day. The psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against you. You know, there's something about scripture. I mean, that's the way that Jesus himself was defended against that satanic attack. You know, he said, but the word of God says this, you know. And God will bring that up for us when temptation comes. But here's the sad thing is the United States Air Force did a study and found that we forget 95% of what we have heard within 72 hours, okay? That's why it says it's so important to meditate upon the word of God. Think about it over and over. Think about it throughout the day. Write it down. Try to memorize it. And reflect upon God's word. Review it so that we can remember it. And then this number three, he says, when we're talking about getting the most from God's word and receiving that blessing that he has promised, he said, we will be blessed. It's in the doing of the word. So we have to do something. In verse 22, do not merely listen to what the word says and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Okay? This word here in verse 22 says, don't just merely listen. The word here for listen is to audit or be an auditor of God's word. You know, I remember in college and seminary, there was always people that just audited the class. Okay, what did that mean? Well, they usually sat in the back and they would listen, but they didn't have to take the test. They didn't have to do all the term papers. You know, I was very jealous. And they didn't take it seriously. They didn't get credit for it. They were just there to listen, okay? And that's what he's saying. Don't just audit the word of God. You know, we got Christians that just audit church attendance. What does that mean? It means they just come in, listen, see what they can, but they don't take it seriously. You know, don't live it throughout the week. Don't remember it in their hearts. And he says, don't just merely listen. Don't just merely, you know, audit Christianity. Don't just audit the word of God thinking that you'll never have a test on it. People, we have tests every day. You know, we need the word of God that strengthens us and encourages us. So we have to let it challenge us, and the whole point of it is that it begins to change us. And that's the thing, if it's not changing us, then we really haven't let the seed of the Word of God be implanted within us and take root and grow. So it's a test of maturity. It's not a test of knowledge, okay? It's not a test of knowledge. It's a test of maturity. It's a test of character. And, you know, a lot of people have great biblical knowledge, but they're spiritual midgets. Here he says, James says, you know, you have to practically apply it. And he says many times in his book, he says, let me see it. You know, prove it to me. Show me. And so Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. James says, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, it's sin. So knowledge increases our responsibility for God, okay? But it is in the doing. It is in the seeing, okay? Suppose, you know, I had a furniture problem, okay? That's when your chest drops into your drawers. And I'm just saying, what if I had that problem? And Paula came along and said, you know, I found this book. It's on bodybuilding. You know, and I really love you, okay? Now, she didn't say this. She loves me for who I am. She loves my body. And but suppose she just said, here's a bodybuilding book. You know, it's been proven by millions of people. Just take 6 months and you're going to be bulked up and, you know, you're going to look great. You're going to feel better. You know, you need to do this for your health. And so I say, okay, I'll take the book. So I take the book. 6 months go by, no change in the body looks. And Paula says, you know, I gave you a book 6 months ago on bodybuilding. I don't see any difference. I don't see any change. Didn't you read that? And suppose I said, yeah, I read it. In fact, I read it a lot of times. I said, here, you can look. I even underlined certain sections of that bodybuilding. I even highlighted certain sections. I mean, I don't go to bed until I read it, you know, for 30 minutes. I even started a group now that meets once a week, and we talk about the book, okay? And she said, but I don't see any change. And, you know, and so we think that's silly. But that's the way some Christians read the Bible, isn't it? You know, it's where is the change? You know, we get awards for reading through the Bible, but we don't really get rewards for doing the Bible. You know, I guess that would be prideful, though. We had to keep our humility there. But we need to mark our Bibles, but we also need to let the Bibles mark us, okay? It's not how many times you've been through the Word of God. It's how many times it has been through you, okay? So I think you're beginning to understand what we're talking about here. You know, having a bodybuilding book doesn't produce muscles, and just having a Bible in the house, you know, doesn't produce Christian character and make us in the image of Jesus. So James, this is what James is saying. If you want to be blessed, you know, you have to do these things. If you really want to make the Bible work for you, you know, it takes more than just, you know, passive listening. It takes that attentiveness, and this is what saves us and brings us that salvation as we put that into practice, okay? It's kind of like the guy who came to church late one day, and he asked one of the ushers, said, is the sermon done yet? And the usher, he was pretty wise, and he said, the sermon has been preached, but it is yet to be done, you know. And that's, I think I put a little cartoon out there a few months ago, too, that said the same thing. You know, and that's the living Bible. That's the Bible being seen within us and the best translation of Scripture. Verse 25, the man who puts the law into practice wins true happiness, true happiness. Jesus talks about the man who builds a house on the sand and one who builds upon the rock, and that's the one who actually reads the word and actually does the word, and he is protected, and he is secure, and he is mature. Jesus said in John 13, now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. So the Bible, to really work for us, to really bless us. You know, it takes more than just reading or listening. It takes application. It takes doing. It takes not forgetting, not walking away and just forgetting what we just read. It takes a seriousness. And then James concludes with these three examples of practicing the word. And he covers these more in depth in the rest of the book, and we'll look at them later. But in verse 26, he says, one of the ways you can tell is the word really getting into you is a controlled mouth. If one considers himself religious, does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. The number two area is a caring heart. Religion that our God and Father accepts as faultless is this, to look after the widows and orphans in their distress, a caring heart. And then a clean mind, he says, to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So spiritual integrity, true Christianity, you know, is the Bible keeping us clean and unpolluted from the world? Is it really making a difference within our life? Is it really that living Bible that's being shown to others and in our speech and in our actions? So how to be blessed by God's word, how to get the most from God's word. James says it becomes a responsibility. You know, he's a doer of the word and not just a hearer only. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. As we go to God, do you know Jesus? Like I said, our understanding, our knowledge, our application in our lives starts with knowing the author of the Bible. Do you know him in a personal way? Has there been a time in your life when you asked Jesus to come into your heart? Have you taken Bible reading seriously? You know, we bear the name of Christian. That means Christ-like. So how much like Jesus are we becoming in our Christianity? Are we receiving God's word each day? Are we reflecting upon God's word? And are we responding to God's word? Or are we just auditing it, just listening? He says we need to be doers. Lord, we pray for your guidance now as we come together. And we realize through the book of James the seriousness of our prayer life, of our Bible study life, of our church attendance, of our Christian character, of the walking Bible that we all are as we portray to other people. Lord, it's so sad that we have so many Bibles in print and so few people actually living it. We pray for that courage and that strength, that understanding, Lord, to know your word, to apply your word, and to do your word, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand.